Beloved radio friends, in the name of the Lord Jesus, our Savior, we greet you heartily as we continue our study, which has just commenced, on the great doctrine of the Holy Spirit of God. We would begin today particular meditation upon the doctrine of the Holy Spirit in consideration of His personality. I presume that all my listeners, and I do trust that this is true, understand from the teaching of the Word of God that there are three great persons in the Godhead: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They are equal one with the other. All the attributes of deity are possessed by each member. They are three in one, and yet they are one in three. For the unity of the Godhead is particularly emphasized, we may say, in the Old Testament, with some very clear intimations regarding the plurality of the Godhead. But in our New Testament, the Trinity, or the Triune Godhead, is particularly revealed in their persons: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, with many suggestions regarding their oneness. But the first theme of consideration, as we have stated, we must and we will take up, is to consider the personality of the Holy Spirit. He is a real blessed person, and His personality is definitely indicated in the Word of God. The reason we would emphasize this is that there are many uninstructed, even uninstructed believers, who think that the Holy Spirit is some kind of an influence. No, He is just as real a person as God the Father. He is just as real a person as God the Son. He is just as real a person as any other personality. And His personality is clearly indicated in the Word of God. Now, I wish, first of all, to present to you three definite lines of evidence from the Word of God which clearly reveal His personality. First of all, He performs work that is only possible for a person to do. And I would mention some of those things which He performs. We may in due time consider some of them separately and in detail. But first, He reproves the world of sin, or convicts it of sin, which the Lord Jesus said He would do from John chapter 16 and verse 8, when the Savior declared He will reprove or convict the world of sin. So as the world's reprover and great convictor, He is unquestionably a person doing that which is only possible for a person to perform. Then said the Lord Jesus in John 14, John 16, and also we find it in 1 John chapter 2, that He is a teacher. He also teaches. In substance, quoting from John chapter 14 and verse 26 only, Jesus said, "He shall teach you all things," so that He is a teacher, doing that which is only possible for a person to accomplish. Another thing that the Holy Spirit performs, He prays. We read in Romans 8 and verse 26, "The Spirit Himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be expressed." And here is an act which only one can do as being a personality. Then further, as a person doing work that is only possible for a person to do, we read that He also leads, and that He leads the people of God. Romans 8 and verse 14 declares, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." And I'm sure that you and I can recognize, readily read if we will, particularly in the book of the Acts, examples where the Spirit of God led the early believers in the early church. Then may I point out another fact, not often emphasized, but in Acts chapter 13 and verse 2, he appoints those who serve the Lord. Listen to the words. The Holy Ghost said, "Separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them." He appoints those who serve the Lord. How wonderful it would be if this were proved more faithfully today. And then, last of all, we would indeed suggest that yet he himself is subject to appointment. When the Lord Jesus spoke of his coming to the earth in John 15 and verse 26, he spoke of the Spirit saying, "As being one whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth." And thus as a person, he was submissive to the appointment of the Father in coming. And then, if we may add, he definitely works himself in many phases of ministry that reveal his personality. Some of these things I now mention we shall take up in great detail. But we are told in John chapter 3, verses 6 and 7, from the very lips of the Lord Jesus, that it is the Spirit of God who regenerates. For that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again, as Jesus spoke to Nicodemus. He regenerates. He gives eternal life and bestows regenerating life upon those who know the Lord. We are told that he also seals, as in Ephesians 1:13, as well as in chapter 4 and verse 30. We are told that upon believing, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Then also he baptizes, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 13. By one Spirit were ye all baptized into one body. Likewise, we are told in Ephesians 5:18, he fills. And we are warned and exhorted to be filled with the Spirit. Now these things that we have mentioned in relation to his work, his regenerating work, his sealing work, his baptizing, his filling, we shall touch upon in detail in our later studies. But may I reemphasize, the personality of the Holy Spirit is definitely indicated by the fact that he performs work that is only possible for a person to do. Now let me give a second proof of his personality, or a second line of proof. And this second proof of his personality is this fact. He is affected as a person by the conduct and the attitude of others toward him. May I repeat it? He is affected as a real person by the conduct or the attitude of others toward him. First, we must say in John 14:26, which we have already mentioned, the Savior declared the Father will send the Comforter, the Holy Ghost. And there we may recognize that he was sent by the Father. And as a person, his conduct and his ministry was affected by one who sent him, even the Father. May I quote again the words of the Lord Jesus in John 16 and verse 7, when he spoke of the Holy Spirit, and how the Savior himself would thus manifest his effect upon the person of the Spirit. The Savior said of the Holy Spirit in John 16:7, "If I depart, I will send him unto you." So not only does the Father send him into the world, but the Son sends him into the world also. Then may I add very quickly, there are some things that men can do to the Holy Spirit, proving his personality. In Isaiah chapter 63 and verse 10, God wrote that Israel rebelled and vexed His Holy Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30, we believers are warned not to grieve the Holy Spirit. In 1 Thessalonians 5:19, we are warned, quench not the Spirit. In Matthew 12 and verse 31, the Savior very solemnly warns men not to blaspheme against the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 3, Peter declared to Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? In Matthew chapter 12 and verse 32, we are told by the Savior that men can and do speak against the Holy Ghost, despising Him. So thus we can recognize, and let me point it out carefully, both by the Godhead, the Father and the Son, and also by the acts of men, the Holy Spirit as a person is definitely affected by their conduct and their attitude in whatever manner it may be. And then we find in the Word of God a third reason for His personality. All Bible terms relating to the Holy Spirit imply His personality. He's called another Comforter by the Lord Jesus in John 14, verse 16, as well as in chapter 14 and verse 26, and again in John 16 and verse 7. He is called the Comforter. Then may I also point out that in John's Gospel, the Lord Jesus speaks of Him in the masculine gender. He calls Him He and Him, and declares very definitely in John 14, 16, so frequently, the personality of the Holy Spirit by the use of the personal pronoun He or Him. But I wonder how many of God's children realize, confess, enjoy this blessed truth, the Holy Spirit is a person. And He should be acknowledged as such, being equal with the Father and with the Son in the triune Godhead. May God bless this truth to our hearts. Father, sanctify the truth and teach us all in our Savior's name for His glory. Amen.